Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, folks, and welcome to this week's episode of the Irish Farmers Journal Farming News Podcast. I'm Rachel Lunavan, news correspondent here at the Irish Farmers Journal, and I'll be joined today by Anne O'Donoghue and Declan O'Brien, as well as our Sheep and Schemes editor, Darren Carty. This week, with the sale of entitlements, our main story on this week's front page, Declan O'Brien will tell us how farmers are already forward buying straw ahead of harvest. And he has the latest on the new contender for the race in Europe. We also have news on the residential zoned land tax, derogation applications for 2024, as well as February milk prices. So all I have to cover off today, we'll get kicked off now. Darren, I want to come to you first. You have the big story this week on entitlements, another thing to keep advisors and farmers busy. What were the trends that we're seeing in 2023?
Yeah, so a big switch or a big change in trends. So if we look back, say figures obtained from the Department of Agriculture shows that there was a 71% increase in entitlement sales. To put that into perspective, so the number of entitlements increased from about 35,000 up to just shy of 54,000 entitlements sold last year. That would be, say, 2023 in itself. Was an increase in 2022, and 2022 would have increased significantly on the previous 2 years, where roughly around 15,000 to 16,000 entitlements were traded annually. What's driving this, Rachel, is there's a few things or a few elements that's driving it. So the Department of Agriculture introduced an amnesty under 20% clawback rule. So for listeners that are familiar with this, it's essentially this. In 2022 or again in 2025 when the amnesty finishes, if you sold 10 entitlements to me without land, two of those entitlements would be lost. So the amnesty that was brought in was trying to encourage the sale of entitlements, trying to get entitlements moving into the hands of active farmers. And that is delivering, I suppose, on its target in this from that 71% increase. There was a couple other things that also contributed to it. One was there's a requirement now for any farmer that wants to get a CAP scheme payment must be deemed an active farmer. For most farmers, that's adhering to a minimum livestock stocking rate. But there's also an allowance there for farmers to be able to deem themselves active farmers if they're selling hay, silage, tillage crops, or if they're delivering an environmental good on land. If we look at, say, the figures at the start of 2023 that would have fell into the active farmer, say, clause around this, there was 10,500 farmers that were drawn down payments that wouldn't be now deemed active farmers. So there's a cohort of those farmers that have decided to sell entitlements. And there's also the element that entitlement values are being diluted via the CAP strategic plan. And what I mean by that is that if we look at, say, the traditional entitlement value in 2022, the new entitlements, the BIS element was 62% because there was 25% deducted from the pot of money for eco schemes. There was 10% deducted for Chris and a further 3% deducted for the young farmer scheme. So those three elements combined are, I suppose, maybe encouraging farmers that were considering selling entitlements to now make the decision. And from talking to auctioneers that would have said this, say, farmers would have came to them last year considering selling and it may be set tight for a year to see what way markets values for entitlements evolved. And a lot of those are now expected to make the decision and sell entitlements this year. So that 71% increase in 2023, we would be expecting those number of entitlements traded via sales to be matched again in 2024 and exceeded going on what those specialising in the trade of entitlements are now seeing.
So that's the sale of entitlements, Darren, but it's fair to say that leasing entitlements is still, I suppose, the most dominant form of trading entitlements.
Definitely. Like, we, I suppose, the big trend there is that, is that say, sales are going to increase this year, but sales are, I suppose, they're dwarfed definitely by the leasing of entitlements. We look at the figures for the last few years. In 2023, there was over 300,000 entitlements leased with a value of just shy of 50 million. Now, that in itself was a reduction of about 50% from previous year's level. So 2022, the lease of entitlements peaked at over 600,000 entitlements. So massive business. Like, the trading of entitlements over the last decade has developed into a huge business. And it's, you can see why the department wanted to maybe start moving entitlements into permanently into the hands of active farmers to reduce down on that lease net entitlements every year. If we are to look at maybe what sort of trends we'd see this year, it's very hard to see what way the entitlements are going to go for from a leasing perspective, because no one would have expected 600,000 entitlements to be leased in 2022. There is no real reason why that then would have dropped or halved in 2023. So it's hard to know what exactly will be the outcome or how many entitlements will be leased this year. All we know is that there is a lot of activity in the market and there is a lot of, interest and will be a lot of business done in the next 8 weeks, because all of these, say, entitlements transfers need to be completed by the 15th of May, the deadline for the BIS closing date. And just a word of caution for farmers, say that maybe are interested in leasing in, sales, selling entitlements. There's a lot of the, say, companies specializing in the trade of entitlements want sort of farmers to make contact before May, because they want, I suppose, maybe will have a lot of tidy up work to do. Some of the stores specializing in it are very reluctant to take on, I suppose, maybe new jobs after the first week of May. So that's just something to be conscious of too, because with a busy calving, lambing, and when it eventually, hopefully, kicks off planting season, there'll be a lot of work to do as well as paperwork.
Thanks for that, Darren. I just want you to touch quickly now on sheep prices, and I see you were in Kilkenny Mart on Monday, or you were looking at prices from their sale on Monday, and I suppose hogget prices are well over the 200 mark now. What's happening?
Yeah, I suppose Kilkenny hit the headlines this week because hoggets stalled up to 230 euros a head. If we were looking at the previous week, you probably would have been looking at maybe in a sale 0.5%, 1% of the sale, maybe topping the 200 euro mark. This week, if we're looking at, say, prices for heavier hoggets, there's about anywhere from 15% to 25% of the sale entry selling over 200. Generally sort of 200 to 210, but as I say, prices are exceeding that on occasion as well. The factory prices have moved on again by another 10 or 15 cent a kilo, still running slightly behind the equivalent mat sales. But what I mean by that is that if you were to take even a 23.5 kilo carcass and the factory selling at 840 a kilo, it's coming in at about 197 euros. In some mat sales, similar type hoggets to that are coming in over 200 euros. So it's just something producers need to be cognizant of, is to weigh up their options and to select the option that delivers the highest price. A lot of this is being driven at the moment by the supply demand balance being in farmers' favour. We see last week's kill was recorded at just over 61,000 head. That in itself was an increase of over 13,000 head in the previous week, but was still about 6,000 head below the week leading into Ramadan in 2023. And reports would indicate that despite prices running €2 a kilo higher or 40 to 50 euros a head higher than last year, factories are still struggling to get the required numbers. The real, I suppose, maybe push over the last week has been for getting supplies onto the market for the Islamic religious festival of Ramadan. That started on the 10th of March. That gives a significant boost at the start of Ramadan. It also gives a significant boost at the end of Ramadan, which is the 9th of April. But it also does help demand right across the festival. The next date or the next major date that factories are going to be looking at is Easter, which falls on the 31st of March. And they're already starting to look forward and to try and get supplies on stream or supplies on hand to try and start to build supplies ahead of contracts for that. Easter is one of the key, I suppose, maybe periods for lamb sales. Spring lamb quotes opened up this week at €9 a kilo plus 20 cent quality assurance payment in the two Irish country meat plants in Navan and Camolin. They're the only plants so far quoting for spring lamb, and those two plants are actually quoting €10 a kilo as well for milk lamb. For anyone that's not familiar with that, it's a real specialist product. It's a lamb carcass between 10 kilos and 13.5 kilos, and that's generally destined for markets such as the Spanish market, the Portuguese market, or the Italian market, where it's very similar for, say, their Easter celebration would be around this light carcass. Very, I suppose, maybe similar to what happens in Ireland and at Christmas. The big drive is for turkey. The big drive is this, say, milk lamb in those countries. And it'll be a niche market. There won't be big numbers done with it, but factories will be looking for spring lambs and milk lambs over the next few weeks. So if listeners have those, there is a market and an opportunity there as well. But all in all, everyone would say this, the trade for the next few weeks looks solid and it's record prices ahead, Richard.
Yeah, and I suppose there's a lot of farmers and especially mid-season flocks who are, I suppose, hoping that the prices will stay at these highs there, and that by the time their lambs are ready, that they'll still have the fruits of these good high prices. So thanks for that. Declan O'Brien, I want to move on to you now. Straw, you're writing about straw on page 3. What are farmers telling you?
Well, I suppose the big news is that some lads are so worried about supplies, Rachel, that they're trying to lock in their straw now, 4 months out from the harvest. I was talking to, well, he's a tillage farmer, but he sells a good deal of feed to livestock farmers, and he said that he has over 1,000 bales already, round bales, nailed down. The farmers have been saying to him, okay, we're not getting into the same malarkey, I suppose, as this year, and scratching around looking for bales, and they're saying we're going to buy they'll get supplied directly off the field at harvest. So that same man now is claiming that he was done the deals at €50 a round bale. Now, he also admitted or conceded that no money had changed hands yet. So that'll definitely be a moving feast close to the third time. But it's an indication of what's going on. And I was talking to Joe Shortle down in the southeast, and that area was flagged up as possibly being the tightest area in the country for fodder. And he was saying that while the weather has been terrible and atrocious and ground conditions are, as Bosco would say, ufosuk, they're definitely, he said, that the main concern at farm level is straw. It's not fodder. Fellas, they're coming close to the back of the pit, but the general view is that there's enough fodder there to see fellas out. Generally, there's a few will obviously be caught, but generally there's enough fodder there to see fellas out till the first or second week in April. But they're saying for lads with straw bedded systems, straw is their real concern. And I was talking to Pat O'Toole, and Pat O'Toole reckons that there's work down in parts of the southeast where they're buying mediocre quality hay down at €35 a round bale, and using that to bid places. You know that it's cheaper than straw at this stage, and they're firing it into straw sheds. Now he said that could very well be that they're feeding it in round feeders and in forking it out, but it's an indication of how tight the market is. Britain as well has gone very tight. One trader, a straw trader in the northwest, said that he's only getting a dribble of supplies from around the country. He's talking about paying 45-50 for round bales, and that when it's up in the northwest, it's costing 60-65.
Yeah, no, those prices don't surprise me at all, Dick. There's a huge shortage of straw this year, and I suppose it's an element of every farm enterprise, no matter whether you're sheep or beef or dairy or you have horses. It's definitely something that all those enterprises this year have I suppose felt a squeeze on. But interesting one to keep an eye on and to see, I suppose, does any money cross hands over the next few weeks and months, or are they just kind of verbal agreements, and will they stand as well? Now, Dick, I want to move on to page 5, where you talk about the latest runner for the European elections. It's Eddie Punch. He was former General Secretary of the ICSA, the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association. Tell us a little bit more, Dick. What area is he in? And I suppose tell me a bit about his background there as well.
Well, Eddie is, as we all know, has been the main man in the executive, from an executive level in the ICSA, for quarter of a century, you know. So he's a dry sack farmer, lives in Cracklow, which is just outside Limerick City, but importantly for Eddie, is on the clear side of the line. So he'd be very well got among dry stock farmers. He's as bright as, and he's very articulate. So he's going in the Ireland South constituency, which is Munster and South Leinster, really. So he's got a good, strong farming base to fish from. I suppose he's the challenge really will be getting beyond the farming constituency and getting out. I'd say, you know, emailing the public, getting the wider audience talking about him. But he will be a strong contender there. You know, that constituency, you'll have the main parties are well represented, like you've Sean Kelly there for Fine Gael. You have Billy Kelleher for Fianna Fáil. Fianna Fáil are also running Cynthia Ní Bhorcú in her base would be South Tip. You have Wallace, who's obviously there in Wexford. He's a sitting TD, but the view would be that his feet could be in danger. So you have, there is scope there. There's scope in the constituency. Eddie will be looking to mobilise the farming and the rural vote. And I think he'll be a strong candidate. He'll be a strong candidate if he can get beyond the farming constituency. But if he stays and he is the only candidate from Clare, the Clare lads will back him to the hilt. With a name like Punch, he obviously has a Limerick lineage, so he'll get strong support in Limerick. You know, so I'd say and among the farming public right across the constituency, I suppose he'll need to get the IFA lads and the ICMSA lads to row in behind him, but he's the type of fellow who can do that. You know, he's bright, he's articulate, and he's sharp. I'd say he'll have a right thing off it now.
Yeah, he's an interesting character there, Dick. I see you have bit of background that he worked in Botswana, and you know, he's director of Six Mile Bridge Mart in County Clare, so kind of has a lot of strings to his bow, and as you say, lots of experience there with ICSA over the years, so a strong contender is right, I'd imagine, and it'd be interesting to see how he gets on. Now, Dick, thanks for that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Noel Barden, I'm going to come to you now. You have news on new zoned land tax maps. What does this mean? So essentially, was it 2021 farmers were initially told that some of their land was going to be zoned from 22 onwards, and there was a period for them to I suppose appeal it. Is the same happening again, or what do these maps mean?
Yeah, so I suppose there are new zoned land maps published, and this is relevant because there is, of course, the residential zoned land tax coming in the 1st of February 2025. It was meant to come in the 1st of February this year, but was postponed in the last budget because there were genuine farmers who still hadn't taken the chance to dezone their lands, and they would have been hit with a 3% tax on the market value of their land every year if it had come in February. So I suppose, first of all, there's new maps out from each local authorities, and they were published in February. And farmers have until the 1st of April to make submissions to their local authority on getting the maps changed. So that's one way, I suppose, of trying to get your land dezoned. But separately to that, there's a separate date with the 31st of May. And that's a really important date because that could be the last opportunity for farmers to apply to have their lands dezoned ahead of the introduction of this tax. So that's the end of May. And I suppose this will apply to genuine farmers, farms who are farming the land. And I suppose all they'll have to do is, I suppose, argue the case that they are farmers and they're not speculators, maybe, who have bought the land and the land is lying idle when they're just hoping for the value to come up so they can sell it on again. So there's a couple of very important dates there.
Okay, thanks for that update, Noel. I want to move on now to the derogation, and applications for 2024 are now open.
Yeah, so the whole system is online, so farmers and their advisors can now apply for 2024 derogations. There's, again, another deadline. There's a lot of deadlines, it seems to be, in this week's news, but the deadline for applying for the derogation is the 19th of April, and the required documents like fertiliser accounts for last year need to be submitted as well. And that deadline of the 19th of April, that's also the one that's been set by the Department of Agriculture for farmers to submit nitrates banding information. And I suppose that information has to go through the ICVF's online portal. And this will only be relevant for the dairy farmers who chose not to allow their co-ops to share their milk information, their milk delivery information with the Department of Agriculture directly. So again, just a quick explainer on the nitrates bans. Most farmers will already know it, but essentially there's cows are split into three groups depending on yield, and that's what the nitrates figures are determined of. So essentially the higher yield in the cow, I suppose the fewer them you can have per hectare. So all cows aren't equal like they might have been 5 years ago. And then another kind of complication to this is that there is now the possibility for dairy farmers to go to the department now and say that they're going to feed a lower protein ration this summer. And what that'll do is that'll give them an allowance. It might be 1 or 2 or 3 kilos per cow of a nitrates excretion rate reduction, but it will just give some room, I suppose, especially for the farmers trying to manage the cut from 250 back down to 220. So I suppose they need to think, first of all, does a low protein ration, so they go down as low as 12 or 13%, is that going to suit their system? And then I suppose they will have to follow it through for the rest of the year. The department will follow up on this afterwards. And then just one more bit on the nitrates banding would be that if you don't allow your dairy co-op to share your information with the department and you don't pick a band yourself, so you don't go on before the 19th of April and select your nitrates band on the ICBF's website, you'll be immediately put into the highest band. So I suppose if farmers do have yields that aren't, that wouldn't put them in the highest band, it is important that they use one of those options to go and select the band that's appropriate for them.
Okay, so an important date there, Noel, for farmers to be aware of. Thanks for that, Noel. I want to move on to Anne now, to more deadlines and dates. And you write there on page 4 that the deadline for line spreading has been extended. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, Rachel, more deadlines and dates, but definitely good news on this front. So it was announced this week by the Minister for Agriculture that the date for spreading lime purchased under the National Liming Programme has been extended by 3 months. So originally, lime purchased under that scheme had to be spread by the end of this month, but that has been extended to Friday the 28th of June. So that just gives farmers more of a window to spread the lime, and badly needed, I suppose, for farmers. So when making the announcement, the Minister acknowledged the weather since last July, the high levels of rainfall, and just said that farmers need more time to get this lime out. I suppose the National Lime Programme was introduced by Charlie McConlogue this time last year, so last spring, and it was just to incentivise the use of lime. All the good stuff about it is a natural soil conditioner which corrects acidity, making nutrients more available for plant uptake and just improving soil health. And then under the scheme, there were 14,500 claims submitted, and those payments were issued to farmers in the final months of 2023. So they had to purchase the lime no later than the 7th of November, and then obviously originally they had to spread it by the end of March, but that has been extended now. So that date, just to reiterate, is the 28th of June. So a bit of good news for farmers, Rachel, on this front. Obviously, just a department reminder, just a warning maybe to farmers, that failure to adhere to the conditions of the scheme regarding spreading will result in recoupment of aid already paid. So, yeah, that's where we're at with that, but that's definitely a positive.
Yeah, good news. And 3 months is a good enough and generous enough extension. I suppose maybe some farmers in parts of the country can't see themselves getting out into fields anytime soon with the level of rainfall that's fallen, but still good to have an extension there and to give them that bit of an extra chance. And just to wrap things up very quickly, Lakeland Dairies were first out of the traps again this month, announcing their milk price for February. What's the case there? Good news anyway, I think.
Yes, I'd like to round it up with a bit of good news, Rachel. So, yeah, Lakeland again were first out with their milk price, and I'm going to give you these figures just excluding VAT, so I won't say it on each time. But they increased their milk price by 1.43 cent per litre, so that's bringing their base price now to 39.43 cent per litre, and that would be at 3.6% fat and 3.3% protein. So this follows a rise for January supplies of, that was a rise of 1.67 cent a litre, and then there was a rise into December as well. You'd be nearly better on the milk price myself going back before that, but look, we're, I suppose, going in the right direction. It's a bit of good news there, and the 0.59 centilitre input support payment, that's now included in the February milk price, and that base price also includes a new 0.48 centilitre sustainability incentive payment. So, yeah, bit of good news to round it up, Rachel. I'm sure we'll be getting more milk prices in the coming days over the next week, so a lot of people will be watching to see, I suppose, if everyone else follows Lakeland's trend.
Yeah, exactly. That bit of good news, Anna, and you never know, it might creep back up to the 2022 levels. It's on the way up anyway, and I suppose dairy farmers will be inclined to hope, I suppose, or hope that they won't drop. So anyway, Anne, thanks for that, and that's it for this week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.